There's a very powerful chapter in Outliers about a man named Joseph Flom, who was an attorney, and a Jewish attorney. In the mid-20th century, law as a profession at the highest levels was closed off to members of the Jewish faith. And, of course, this was very considerable professional adversity for Joe Flom. And as the chapter goes on to detail, the only area of law that was opened to members of the Jewish faith in the mid-20th century was an area of law called hostile takeover, a particular kind of a business merger that would then become one of the most profitable areas of law some 20 years later. And so what started off as a profound adversity in the end could only be related to as a very significant opportunity. And in fact, the top-ranked law firm in the country, Wachtell, Lipkin, Rose & Katz, which is also detailed in that particular chapter, is the founding partners are four members of the Jewish faith who had exactly the same story and were able to benefit specifically because a door had been slammed in their face. So the idea of relating to adversity not just as an obstacle that needs to be overcome, but perhaps to be open to the possibility that it's actually an opportunity for us either to find another avenue, as was the case with these particular attorneys, or in a deeper sense, an opportunity for us to refine our character and to perhaps describe what it is we're encountering, not merely as something which causes us distress, but, as I say, an opportunity for us to redeem and even refine critical flaws in our character. And so I wanted to take things away from the material. Obviously, in Outliers, when we deal with the particular legal example, which is used in the case of Joe Flom, so we're dealing with adversity on the level of finding meaningful work, and I'm not minimizing that. But what I really want to direct it to is to spiritual adversity and spiritual opportunity, and I want to focus on three personalities from the Torah: Avram, Yosef, and then Esther, of course, is on our minds this time of year because of the arrival of Purim in just over a week. So let's just begin with the following observation. The Bereishis Rabbah, here you have it in the first source, says, Hashem tzadik yivchan v'rasha v'oev chamas ananavsho. God examines and tests the righteous person, but he does not necessarily do the same for the wicked person. Amar Rabbi Yosanan, Hapishtani hazek shepishtanu loka einu makish alav biyoser mipnei shipokas. That when a person is making flax, okay, and obviously flax is ultimately spun into litten, if he realizes that the flax isn't strong to begin with, he doesn't pound at it so hard lest it will break. Uchshepishtanu yafe, but when the flax is of the highest quality, humakish alav biyoser, he pounds on it and he pounds on it and he pounds on it again. Lama shehi mishtabachas veholachas. The more that one pounds on it, the stronger that it becomes. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu eino menases harishoyim. God doesn't bother testing those who are wicked. Lama she'ein yicholin la'amod, because they're not able to withstand these tests. Zechsev veharishoyim kayam nigrash, that the wicked ones, they will be like the stormy sea. They go from place to place. Es mi menase, who does God test? Es tzadikim. Shene emar Hashem tzadik yivchan. So you see already in the Bereishis Rabbah is highlighting a very important point, is that being tested is not a sign, God forbid, of somehow that this individual is being rejected by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but sometimes just the opposite, that when a person encounters adversity, that may reflect the fact that God has determined this person is a tzadik, and this person is capable of withstanding even very, very significant challenges. And then perhaps it's not a surprise that we find that the person who's most affiliated with the notion of nisayon, of trial and challenge within our tradition, is none other than Avram Avinu, the very founder of our faith. Asar nisyonos, the Mishnah of Avos tells us, nisnach Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom ve'amad b'chulam. Lodia kama chibaso shalom Avinu alav ha-shalom, that Avram had a unique chiba, had a unique sense of preciousness and beloved quality in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, specifically because he was tested over and again. You have the list here according to the Rambam, list according to Rashi. There are different interpretations as to what precisely the 10 challenges were, but everybody agrees that the challenges began with Avram having to leave his hometown. Where did Avram start off? Of course, in Ur Kasdim. And then he eventually, what's the final challenge, the greatest challenge of them all? Akedas Yitzchak having to take the knife to his own son. Now, what's really remarkable about this is that the idea of facing these challenges helps refine Avram's character in a very particular way. So if you take a look at the third source, which is known to all of you from the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, the very moment that Avram Avinu steps into Eretz Canaan, the Torah says, Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz, Vayered Avram Mitzrayim Alagur Sham Ki Chaved Arav Ba'aretz. Nachum, he was encountered with a terrible trial. On the one hand, God had told him, Lech Chamei Aretz Chamei Ladetz Chamei Beis Avicha Ala Aretz Asher Areka, that he should go to Eretz Canaan. No sooner than he steps off the boat, so to speak, in Eretz Canaan, what does he find? It was a terrible famine. And Avram leaves Eretz Canaan. This is one of the trials that he has to endure, I guess, according to both Rashi and the Rambam. But the Ramban says that Avram leaving Eretz Canaan, even under these circumstances of duress, was a chet gadol. Admittedly, it wasn't intentional, it wasn't b'meisit, but a shkaga. But that Avram Avinu should have had the sense of bitacho and reliance on God, that even if there was a terrible famine, if God told him to go to the land of Canaan, there he should remain. And not only that, but Avram had an additional sin, which is that he shouldn't have pressured Sarah or instructed Sarah to indicate that she was sister and not his wife, and he should have trusted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have protected him. So what do we see about Avram? Despite the fact that he's being tested, according to Ramban, initially at least, he's failing. And I would suggest the same thing if you go ahead to the fifth source, Achar HaDvarim Ma'ela Hayad Dvar Hashem Al Avram B'machazel Imor, Al Tira Avram, be afraid not Avram, Anochi Magen Lach Scharcha Harbei Me'od, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great. So what's Avram's response? Vayomer Avram, Hashem Elokim atiten li, v'anochi holeich ariri, what can you possibly give me? Anochi holeich ariri, I have no children, uven meshek beisi hu damesek Eliezer. So David, what's implicit in this comment of Avram Avinu? God says to him, Scharcha harbei ma'od, you'll be rewarded at a very high level. And what's Avram's response? I don't see it. I don't have any children. What are you talking about? You're going to give me a great reward. I have nothing to speak of. So once again, if the first time in Avram Avinu's life it was doubt as expressed by significant action, he left Eretz Canaan, here the doubt isn't expressed in as dramatic a way, but it's expressed at least verbally. And yet, by the end, by the tenth and final Nisayon, we find something remarkable. The greatest test of all, when God says to Avram, at that time he's Avraham already, Kach no es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak, v'lech lecha al eretz ha-moriyah, v'aleihu sham li'ola al achar ha-harim asher amari lecha, Avram, sacrifice your beloved Yitzchak, who you waited for 100 years, who carries on your legacy, who you love so very much, and kill him. And you, Avram, who have stood for righteousness and justice in the world, who shouted to God when God would have brought injustice in the city of Sodom, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat, and now God is asking Avram in one fell swoop to not only sacrifice his own child, but Ned, to sacrifice his moral legacy as well, as somebody who protects the innocent. What do we find? Vayashkem Avraham baboker, zrizin makdim in the mitzvos. Apparently, the process of being challenged over and again, repeatedly, strengthened Avram's emuna. So their adversity wasn't just an obstacle, but it was an opportunity. This nisyonos, remember the image of the Bereishis Rabbah, time and again, like the Pishtani is pounding on his flax, God was pounding on Avram Avinu, and the result was stronger. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, V'Rasha V'Oev Chamas Ananafsho, that God was pounding on Avram, and he was able to refine his character, and in particular to correct this attribute of Bitachon. You know, it's ironic. Sometimes we think about Avram Avinu as the paragon of Emunah, Kola Olam Kulo Me'ever Echad, V'Hu Me'ever Hasheni, that's why we call him Avram Ha'ivri. And yet we see here that the situation is really much more complex than that. Avram doubted many, many times throughout the course of his life, even after he arrived at the realization of monotheism. And we have to appreciate that the adversity that he went through, the ongoing nisyonos, were actually an opportunity for him to refine his spiritual persona. And indeed, Rashi says adversity was an opportunity in another sense, because when the Jewish people were in Egypt and God brought the 10 plagues, it was in the merit of the 10 nisyonos that Avram withstood. And when the Jewish people were on Yam Suf and God again brought another 10 plagues on the Egyptians, it was in the merit of the 10 trials that Avram withstood. And indeed, in the future, when the Aseres HaDibros were destroyed after the sin of the Egel HaZahav, and God was contemplating whether to destroy the Jewish people, Rashi quotes that it was the 10 trials that Avram withstood that guaranteed the survival of the Jewish people. So of course, at the time, none of this was fun. None of this was enjoyable. Avram certainly wasn't delighting in being challenged in these ways. And yet, it was these very trials that were a great opportunity in two senses. First and foremost, for Avram to refine his personal characteristics. But second of all, they would stand the Jewish people in very good stead. The concept of Zchus Avos, and in particular, the Zchus of the first of the Avos, Avram Avinu. The second example that I want to try to illustrate is how adversity in the life of Yosef HaTzadik actually is an opportunity for him to refine his character in a particularly profound way. We know that Yosef starts out his life as a dreamer, but somebody who dreams in terms of self-aggrandizement. Gershon, what do I mean? Precisely, Vinei Hashemesh ve'Areach ve'Achadasar Kochavim Mishtachavim Li, that I'm the one who everybody is going to be bowing down towards, or Vinei Anachnu Me'almim Alumim B'Socha Sadeh Vinei Kam Alum Asi Ve'Gam Nitzava Vinei Sisu Ben Alum Oseichem V'Tishtachaven Al Alum Asi, that all of your sheaves are bowing down to my sheaf. And the response that he gets is not approbation. The response that he gets is not approval. The response that he gets is hatred. Enmity. He inspires in people not feelings of warmth. He inspires in people not feelings of friendship and amicability, but he inspires even in his own family feelings of outright hatred. The Torah tells us about Yosef's brothers, Vayosifu od sino oso, they literally despised him. Hatred, al chalomosav v'al devarav, through his dreams and through his words. And Yosef, who dreamt about being elevated above everybody, kama lumasi v'gam nitzava, perhaps the greatest irony of all is, where does Yosef end up in his period of adversity? Not elevated, but where? Thrown into a pit. Vayashlichu oso habora. He was thrown into a pit, not once, but multiple occasions. What was the second bore that Yosef found himself in? That, of course, is a synonym for the jail. Yosef has to go through the bore in order to refine his own character. The adversity that Yosef encounters, and it was considerable adversity, is indeed an opportunity for him to refine his own character. And so by the end of his life, instead of being the one, and Nachum will get to you in a moment, who's constantly sharing his dreams about himself with others, what becomes Yosef's calling card? As Paro says, Shamati alecha lemor, tishma chalom liftoroso. That you are somebody who knows how to listen, and not only somebody who knows how to talk and to dream about himself. And indeed, at the very end of his life, in the very end of the depiction of his life, when the brothers come to Yosef, and they're terrified that Yosef is going to exact a terrible vengeance against them, Vayomer alehem Yosef al tira'u, fear not, my brothers, ki asachas Elohim ani, am I God? Indeed, when Yosef was a young man, he verily imagined himself as God. Instead of imagining people bowing down to God, who does he imagine people bowing down to? Himself. Exactly right. And he's dreaming of being elevated and exalted above everybody else. And he says, no. In the end, he recognizes, Hasachas Elohim ani, am I in place of God? Absolutely not. Ve'atem chashavtem alai ra'ah, and even if you meant me harm, ve'elohim chashva l'tova, God thought of it for the very right reasons, Lamana sok hayom hazel achayos amrav. God sent me through this adversity because it would indeed be able to protect the family and indeed the entire Egyptian populace. Ve'atal tirau fear not, anochi achalkel eschem ve'estapchem. I will take care of you. Vayinachem osam, and so he comforted them. Vayidaber alibam. Who can pick up on what's so remarkable about these last few words? That how is he able to comfort them? Through speech. And what's remarkable about that, Shmuel? That's exactly how he antagonized them, right? Because the antagonism came from where? Exactly right. Vayosifu od sino oso, al chalom osav, vi al devarav. that the words that he had used initially had been so hurtful to his brothers. They'd caused his brothers such terrible pain, and now he's able to use those same words after he goes through his own adversity to refine his character, to go from being self-centered, dreaming only of his own advancement, to realize that his highest fulfillment in life was to provide for others, to take care of other people, and to be able to not advance himself for the sake of himself, but to use his position of authority on behalf of his family. Go ahead. Exactly right. That is a very, very important distinction. You wouldn't necessarily say that Avram had the same degree of flaw, but again, I think the basic parallel maintains insofar as, with respect to Avram, his own sense of emunah, ironically, needed to be strengthened. And you see that in the various ways that we showed you, going from outright leaving Israel and sort of in his own way exposing Sarah to danger, to questioning God when God says that you're going to be rewarded in a very profound way, and then third and finally, when he's asked to, you know, do the unthinkable, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, that he's able to do so without any hesitation whatsoever, that sense of his reason, Makdim in the mitzvah, is particularly in this context. Okay, just pause for a second. The third and final example that I'd like to try to illustrate here, in terms of utilizing very substantial adversity, Yosef's adversity was personal, Avram's adversity was personal, this is going to be a form of national adversity, is in the story of Esther Hamalka. How would you describe Esther when she first appears to us in the Megillah? Is an active or a passive character? She's extremely passive. In fact, the words that are used about Esther time and again are Vatilakach Esther, that Esther is constantly being taken. Vatilakach Esther al Beis HaMalchus, Vatilakach Esther al HaMelech. She's being taken places. And how does Esther behave? Well, the Megillah tells us, Ein Esther Magedes Es Hamaves Moladata. Why didn't Esther reveal her nation or her birthplace? Not because it was her idea, but who remembers? Ki Mordechai Tziva Aleha Asher Lo Sagid. Mordechai was the one told her not to do this. And yet, there comes a terrible moment of challenge for the entire Jewish people. The Gzeira issued by Haman and Achashverosh together, the Gemara refers to them as two peas in a pod. It says that Achashverosh had this large mound of dirt and Haman had this large hole in his yard, and the guy with the mound of dirt, you know, says, you know, I'm looking for a place to get rid of my dirt, and the guy with the hole says, look, I'm looking to buy dirt off somebody, and the guy with the dirt says, I'll give it to you for free, just get it off my lawn, you can put it into your hole. Haman and Achashverosh, wicked and insidious as they are, issue this terrible gzera together. And Mordechai comes to Esther and he tells her to react. And what's Esther's initial response? And why not? What's she concerned about? She's concerned about herself. She says, everybody knows, Kol avdei ha-melech v'am dinos ha-melech yodim, asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo al ha-melech el ha-chatzer ha-pnimis asher lo yikarei, achas taso le-hamis. They have but one law facing them, one rule facing them. Levad me asher yoshit lo hamelach e sharbita zahav v'chaya. I'll be dead. And Mordechai says, well, if what you're suggesting is that you're simply going to remain passive, ki'im hachareish tacharishi ba'es hazos, this will lead no place other than your destruction, at ubeis avich tovedu. And in the face of this adversity, when Esther is challenged, the very core of her persona, somewhat new and completely different, emerges. Vatomer Esther lahashiva Mordechai, here you have it in the 14th source. And I'm going to show you successively how Esther breaks out of her shell of passivity, of inaction, and becomes dramatic in her capacity to seize the initiative. Vatomer Esther lahashiva Mordechai, leich. Leich is not a request, it's an imperative. Kenosis kol ha-yehudim anim tzim b'shushan. Gather all the Jews. Vitzumu alai. Al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'ayom. Gam ani v'na'arusaya tzum kein. Uv'chein avo al ha-melech asher lo chadas. Contrary to the beginning of the Megillah where she's accepting orders to Mordechai, here Esther is the one who is administering orders to Mordechai. And it's not only giving orders to Mordechai, but by the time we get to the end of the Megillah in chapter 9, Who is she giving orders to? None other than the king of the Persian Empire. Ahasuerus is furious that there's been a kind of carnage in Shushan. Bishushana bira harguha yudim ve'abed chamesh meos ish. Bishar medinos hamelech me'asu. Who can imagine the scale and the quantity of the carnage across the 127 provinces? And what does Esther say? I demand another day. Lasos kedas hayom, to do what we already started to do, which is to destroy the enemies of the Jewish people. Not only giving Mordechai commands Pesach, but actually being prepared to give Achashverosh commands. And not only that, but when it comes to establishing her own day as a holiday, and establishing Megillas Esther as one of the Sifrei Tanakh, actually the 24th and final one of the Sifrei Tanakh, the Gemara in Masechta Megillah and Daf Zayin tells us that Esther encountered resistance from the rabbinic establishment as well. Esther said, Kiva'uni ledoros, make me a yontif, as Rashi says, and make sure that there's a concept of Kriyas HaMegillah. And Chazal objected. The Rabbanon said, Kina at mitoreres aleinu levein ha'umos. People are going to say that this causes anti-Semitism if the Jews are celebrating their victory over their enemies. And Esther wouldn't give up, and she says, Kvar ksuvo ani al malchei madayu faras. If somebody wants to be an anti-Semite, as we know, there will be an anti-Semite. And then she says, not only that, but kisvuni ledoros, I should be part of the kisvei hakodesh. And then again, the Rabbanon have to go back and look, and indeed they find that there is a place, one final place in Tanakh, as the Gemara in Masechas Yoma says, Ma Mizmor al Yel Sashachar Mashachar Sof Kol Halayla Af Esther Sof Kol Anisim, that Esther is the end of the period of Svarim that could be entered into Tanakh. Esther takes the initiative, gives Mordechai commands, gives the Jewish people commands, gives Achashverosh commands, and even is able to encourage and to a certain extent inspire the rabbis to establish a holiday. This is the opposite of a person who's passive, but one of the most active figures we have in all of our Masorah. So to summarize what we saw today, very often we perceive of adversity, something difficult, whatever it is, whether it's a financial difficulty, as it was in the case of Joe Flom, or he couldn't find the right job, and it turned out to be more lucrative than any job he would have ever had, specifically because somebody slammed the door in his face. But of course, it's not only that kind of adversity. We all experience adversity, whether it's academic adversity, somebody who finds school difficult for whatever reason, medical adversity, a person who has either a physical disease or mental illness. There is adversity all around us. And sometimes the first and most important thing that we could do is recognize that it's not just an obstacle that we have to plow through or overcome, but we have to recognize that in one way or another, it may be an opportunity. It may be, as was the case for Joe Flom, that one door is being shut, but we should really be looking elsewhere and realize that there's a door open over there, which is going to be far more important than one could ever imagine. And that's true at a surface level. But in the most important sense, when we encounter adversity, the single most important thing is to recognize that it's an opportunity for us to refine ourselves in the spiritual sense of the term. Avraham Avinu was tested not once, not twice, not thrice, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but 10 times. And each time we find, even at the beginning, when his emunah was not yet rock solid, by the end, we're able to read, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Vayachavoshes Chamaro, Vayikachesh Neina Ravito, he's prepared to do the greatest act of religious courage, as Kierkegaard said, the night of faith. Some of us have spoken about that in other contexts. He was able to literally live up to the greatest challenge of them all, the Akedah. Yosef struggles with narcissism and arrogance. Vayosifu od sinoso al chalom osavi al devarav. He only dreams about self-advancement and being able to be the object of adoration and adulation on the part of all those who see him. And yet by the end of his life, Yosef recognizes, Hasachas Elokim Ani. It's not about me, it's about God. And if even I dreamed at the beginning of my life that I would be great, now I recognize that God has his own plans. Atem chashav tem alai ra'ah. Perhaps this was adversity for me. I was sold as a slave. I ended up in jail for some time between 3 and 13 years. Yosef's challenges were not small, but it taught him, it gave him the opportunity to teach him how to listen, how to care about others, and ultimately how to recognize that he was not the one who should be adored and bowed down to, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running events, and that the greatest personal fulfillment that he could ever have is not by having people bow down to him, but on the contrary, Anochi achalkel eschem v'yastapchem, being of some service to other people. And third and finally, we saw in the case of Esther Hamalka, v'tilakach Esther, kichein siva aleha Mordechai, Esther goes from being incredibly passive to perhaps the most forceful character that we have within all of our tradition, where she's giving commands not only to Mordechai and the Jewish people, but to Achashverosh, and even to a certain extent to Chazal, when it comes to establishing her own book as part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, as part of Tanakh, and Purim as a holiday. The adversity, that moment where the entire Jewish people was going to be destroyed, Esther was compelled by Mordechai to look inside of herself and find an element within herself that she simply didn't know existed. The Hebrew term, the term that we find, again, whether it's in the context of Avraham Avinu, Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu, the term Nisayon literally means a challenge, but it has a secondary meaning as well. The Pasuk in Tehillim, here you have it in the 18th source, says, Nasata li re'echa nes lihisnoses mibnei koshet selah. The way that the Bereishis Rabbah interprets this Pasuk in the context of the Akedah, Vahi acharat v'reim o'elev Elohim niso es Avraham. God subjected Avram to a terrible trial. Ksiv nasati li'recha nes. You've given to those who fear you. Again, Avram is described as atayadati ki yirei Elokim ata. Nasata li'recha nes lisnoseis b'mnei koshet tzela. Nisayon achar nisayon. It's true, nes means a nisayon, a challenge, but it also has a secondary meaning, gidulin achar gidulin. As the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, the Jewish people will be or lagayim, but nes la'amim. Like we're going to read later on, some of you are studying Sefer Bamidbar, I think we're all studying Sefer Bamidbar this year. You take the nachash and the choshes, and where was Moshe supposed to put it? Al nes, right? Literally elevated above. And nisayon is not just a challenge, but it has a secondary meaning, as the Medrash here says, gidulin, to be exalted, and to be elevated above. And in fact, these aren't two contradictory or paradoxical terms, but on the other hand, they have one and the same origin, because every time we're being tested, we're given an opportunity to elevate ourselves. Nisayon achar nisayon, gidulin achar gidulin. And so for myself and for all of us, every person in this room has different challenges. Every person in this room. And every person going forward from this room into the course of the rest of his life will encounter very different challenges. Medical, social, financial. Some people will have an easier time finding a job. Some people will have an easier time finding a wife. Some people will have an easier time medically. And when we encounter adversity, as we all surely do encounter adversity, we have to remind ourselves of this basic lesson, that every single time we encounter adversity, there's also an opportunity. Doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be able to emerge victorious. Only God knows. And sometimes a disease comes along. We had Pink Day the other day, and unfortunately, a person does not survive. But what we can control is the way that we respond to it. And like Avraham Avinu, who needed to strengthen his bitachon, or Yosef HaTzadik, who needed to learn to be a little bit less selfish and focused on himself, and to listen to other people's dreams instead of sharing his own, or Esther Hamalka, who needed to learn to be a little bit more forceful and a little less passive, every time we encounter adversity, we can look inside ourselves and ask, what is it that we can refine within ourselves? How can we turn this nes from a nisayon into an opportunity for gidulin to exalt and redeem ourselves over and above where we had been before that point? Thank you very much.